Today's reading is in John chapter 11, starting in verse 38. John 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he had prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. This section here reveals to us several things that I think are of note. First of all, when Jesus says, "Take away the stone," and Martha answers, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days," she reveals that though she believed in the resurrection, she was not thinking that Jesus would bring Lazarus back from the dead, back to walk upon this earth right here and right now. That's not the way she's thinking, and so she makes this statement. I also point out that verse 38 says that Jesus was deeply moved again. You saw verse 35 where he said that it says that Jesus wept. But after Jesus asks for the stone to be taken away, or commands for the stone to be taken away, and Martha responds to him and he says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" They take away the stone, and Jesus gives this prayer. He's addressing God the Father, but he's doing so in a very public way in order to benefit those that are around him. And he says, "I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around." So he's saying these things for them to make that connection that he's been talking about. You go back to after chapter 9 into chapter 10, when he talks about I and the Father being one, he's making that connection now for them, and then he's going to bring Lazarus back from the dead in order to prove what he is saying, to glorify God, and to instill this belief in who he is. And that's exactly what happens. As it says in verse 45, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, saw what he did and believed in him. Many Jews believed in him. But some of them go back to the Pharisees, apparently not believing, and going and telling on them, basically. And the chief priests begin discussing what they're going to do about it. Now, it's interesting. When Jesus calls out and says, "Lazarus, come forth," understand that the one who is making that call is the holder of life itself, the agent of creation, the one who brings life and life abundantly, so that he can speak to one who is dead, and that one who is dead is now alive. He has given him life again. Of course, his spirit wasn't dead. Our spirits are eternal. But I'm talking about his physical body. So the same voice that could say, "Peace, be still," to a storm and waves and an ocean, and immediately they cease, said, "Lazarus, come forth." That's who is speaking. Now I'm going to throw another thought in here. If you fast forward, we haven't gotten to this in our reading yet, but in chapter 12, verse 10, the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. They want to kill him again because Jesus brought him from the dead, and that was creating belief. Just the fact that he could walk around and tell the story, or just walk around and be pointed to and say, "That's Lazarus. That's the one that was dead. He was in that tomb for 4 days. So now they want to put him to death as well. They want to stop everything that points toward Jesus being the Christ. Even though they witness his power, they see what he's able to do. He's not even just a prophet. He's the Son of God who has come, who's doing things that no one has ever done before. That's what they were talking about in chapter 9. And so by the word of Jesus, death became life. There is nothing that is beyond his power. There is nothing beyond his ability. He is the Son of God. Yes, equal with God. If we have any hope of overcoming death itself, it's only by the Lamb of God. It's only by the one who has that kind of power. But they begin to put together this plot that they're going to kill Jesus, thinking that somehow they're saving a nation, and they just don't understand. Even though these are the people that should have understood, these are the people that should have been able to understand and connect what Jesus is doing with those Old Testament scriptures. Jesus reveals that there was an expectation that if you were a student of the old scriptures, that you would be able to see Christ in them, for they were a tutor to bring us to Christ. Might not have been easy, but it was necessary. And so, after they begun this plot to kill Jesus, it says in verse 54 that he no longer walked openly among the Jews. That doesn't mean he was inactive. That doesn't mean he was going off to hide. That means that he was completing his mission to seek and save the lost, and it wasn't his time to die yet. So he doesn't walk openly among them, but people are looking for him. They're looking for Jesus and saying, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all?" And of course the chief priests had said, "Look, if you see Jesus, come tell us. Come inform us." I can't help but feel like these people that ran off to tell the Pharisees about Lazarus, and now the way that the Pharisees are asking for people to tell them, that it's kind of like, come squeal on him. Come be a tattletale. And I realize that's an oversimplification, but it really is kind of the way they're treating the people. They don't want people to make up any sort of mind of their own. They want these people to simply listen to them, accept whatever they say, and don't you dare question it. We have to be very careful with falling into that kind of a mindset for ourselves. We need to study and know the scriptures ourselves. We need to know the truth ourselves. You cannot identify error. You cannot notice when something is all wrong if you don't know when something is all right. So we need to be in prayer that we understand that Jesus is who he claims to be, and that means that he has power over death itself and is offering to help us overcome death by the sacrifice he's already made, his blood that was shed upon that cross. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.